This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to The Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Nima Sanandaji. He is president of the European Center for Entrepreneurship and Policy Reform and author of the new book, Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism. Nima, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Very good.
Good. Where are you located? Give us a sense of geography.
I used to live in Sweden, but I've moved recently to Malta, which is a small island in the middle of the Mediterranean.
Oh, yes, I know where Malta is. Fantastic. So many people on the left in the United States constantly have this refrain of the United States should be more like Europe. And they're talking usually Western Europe when they say that. But they tend to cite Scandinavian countries as tremendously successful with socialism. Is that true? Or parse this up for us and tell us what this debate is or maybe really should be about.
Yeah, so it's certainly true that they're saying that. And, you know, what's been happening recently during the past decades or years is that the left is using the Nordic countries not just as an argument, but as a number one argument for why socialism works. You know, American left doesn't point to Soviet Union or Cuba or Venezuela as proofs that socialism works. And even when it comes to, you know, welfare states, they don't point to, like, Italy and say, wow, Italy has a fantastic welfare state. Or Belgium or Spain have very good welfare states. They don't even say American states which have big public sectors like California have good systems. Almost exclusively, they point to Nordic countries. And the Nordic countries have become the number one argument for why socialism works. And my book, Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism, systematically explains why this is all wrong.
Well, why is it wrong? When you drill down on the issue and you look at, say, the Scandinavian countries, they seem prosperous. They tend to have low crime rates, good education. They say good health care. I can't speak to that personally, of course. But what would you say to all of those things?
So Nordic countries are undeniably very successful. But as I have shown in my writing, yes, they are very successful. Why? Well, firstly, because Nordic countries have a very unique culture of working ethics and individual responsibility, which is just, you know, unique in the world. They're very punctual people, very responsible people. They have very healthy diets and so forth. And this social success we see in the Nordic countries, I show in my book, predates the welfare state. Now, that's one important thing. Another important thing is that Nordic countries are not socialist. For most of their history, they've been relying on free markets. Still today, in many ways, Nordic countries are more free market oriented than even the United States. So Nordic countries are not socialists, and their success is not due to a large welfare state. Their success socially is due to their culture. And arguably, as I'm showing in my book, the welfare state in Nordic countries has actually created some social problems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before you get to that, can you give us a time frame at which the socio-political climate in these countries started to shift? When did it shift from the more free market concept to become more socialist? And, you know, look, we all know if we really think about this, that this is a common path of any society. At first, it struggles, and all the people in it gain this very good work ethic, hopefully, and the society becomes more prosperous as a result. And then as it becomes successful, it becomes a little more apathetic and complacent and, oh, you know, let's give money to these people and those people. And then, you know, you have all these social programs. And of course, social programs like that always reward the wrong behavior. And people just out of human nature tend to take the easy path, most of them. And then these countries get into debt and they have societal problems, but they're mass. See, the problem is there's a long lag time always between the cause and the effect, isn't there? So to give us a perspective on time, when did the turn happen? And I'm sure it wasn't the same in every country either. You know, is there a certain time when this started to shift?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I should have asked you to write a foreword to my book because you really summarized it well.
I'll write the foreword to your next book. How's that?
Yeah, you do that. And by the way, you know, this book and other books and reports I've written about this subject, they've gained tremendous international attention. They've been translated to many, many different languages, including Farsi, Korean, and now recently Japanese. So, you know, it's a major issue why these Nordic countries succeed and why socialism doesn't work there. Not because Nordic countries are important, because they're important as a role models for socialism. So going to your argument, look, Nordic countries had developed unusually strong cultural attributes like working ethics and responsibility ethics and trust and punctuality because they were inhabited by free farmers, people who owned their own land, which is very much different from much of the rest of Europe or like Russia, where people were landless serfs. So they had property rights, widespread property rights, but they also lived in a very unforgiving climate. So the Nordic people had to work very, very hard, take care of themselves, help their neighbors. Otherwise, they would starve. So, you know, these people, these Protestant people adopted very unusual norms.
Let me just kind of add to what you're saying there for a moment. When you look at the heritage of these countries in the North, literally, it's you could say it's epigenetics or it's just genetic in general, I don't know. But if these groups of people didn't work together, they wouldn't be here today. These whole cultures would be extinct. For example, take just a fire. You know, if a tribe starts a fire in the fall, they have got to keep that fire going through spring or the entire tribe will die. And to keep that fire going, because you probably can't restart it again in the middle of December, for example, to keep it going, that takes a tremendous amount of teamwork and community. You know, someone has got to be on watch all the time and people have to do their part. It's not easy to survive, obviously, in those climates. And in the past, many, many years ago, a lot of people would argue that Europe was a lot colder than it is today. That would even add to the difficulty of survival, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, and I, you know, I've got a lot of metrics and historical references that shows that Nordic people have been seen as being very hardworking for many, many, you know, long time, hundreds of years ago. Anyway, these countries got free markets in the late 19th century. And once they got free markets, tremendous success. You know, one of my chapters is the Nordic free market success story. Really, it is difficult to find examples of countries that have thrived as much when adapting free market capitalism as Denmark and Sweden. And they grew very, very prosperous until around the 1960s, they started shifting towards big welfare state. Now, one of the things you should remember that for a long period, for maybe around 100 years, Denmark and Sweden had small government policies, almost like they were run by the Libertarian Party, free markets, and they were more free market oriented than the United States. One very good example is the Great Depression. When that crisis came, the United States turned towards socialism, the New Deal. And you really struggled, you know, to get out of the Great Depression. Well, the Nordic countries did not struggle. They very rapidly, you know, started creating jobs and growth because they relied on laissez-faire free market policies. And what is very striking, I think very, very few socialists and liberals in the U.S. realize this, is that Nordic countries not only became very, very affluent during this period, but their social success came before the big welfare state. And you know what? Let me just give you an example of the US debate. Many people, not only the supporters of Bernie Sanders or President Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or even these four individuals themselves, but also like public and national radio, they use arguments like, they say, you know what, did you know that Danish people live 1.5 years longer than Americans? That's because they have a big welfare state if we had the highest tax on the planet, which Denmark has, we'll, you know, live 1.5 years longer. Isn't that a good trade-off? And maybe it would be to have higher taxes and live 1.5 years longer. But as I show in my book, Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism, Denmark had lower taxes than the United States in 1960. Denmark was really a small government country then. And you know what? In 1960, the lifespan difference, it was 2.4 years. So the lifespan difference has actually shrunk as Denmark has moved to a socialized medicine and a big welfare state.
That's
and
interesting.
And this is true.
Wow.
For all the Nordic countries.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that? All of them had bigger lifespan differences before moving towards a big welfare state.
That is very interesting. Now, of course, to be fair, there are many, many factors that play into that equation, of course. But generally speaking, those who are against socialized healthcare would argue the people die waiting in line argument, which certainly you could argue that in Canada and England. I don't know about the Nordic countries in particular that much about their systems, but yeah, very, very interesting, very interesting. Feel free to comment on that more if you like, but I want to make sure I just have you touch on some of the chapter heads in your book. I'll just fire off a few of them, take it wherever you like. American Obsession with Nordic Social Democracy. Nordic success predates large welfare states. You mentioned that. Coffee-consuming workaholics, that's the work ethic thing.
Yeah.
Comparing apples to apples, how can the Nordics tax so much?
Can we go to
just
apples,
touch on
apples.
Whatever you like. Yeah, go for it.
So one of the things I do is I compare Nordic people with Nordic Americans. Now, there are like 12 million Nordic Americans, and this group is larger than the population of any individual Nordic country. And you know what? The Nordic Americans, we know that their forefathers, they were the poor people who left the Nordic countries. They were the guys starving. They were the guys who didn't have a farm. So you'd think, of course, their children would be poor compared to Nordic people. But as I show in Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism, that is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Nordic Americans have 50% higher living standard than the Nordic people. They're 50% more, you know, if they had their own economy, their GDP would be 50% higher. So that's the difference between having a big welfare state and living in the American political system. But of course, you'd say, okay, but the point of social democracy is not to create wealth, it's to create human well-being. Okay, so let's look at the social factors. Nordic Americans are more socially successful than the Nordic people. They have much lower, like almost half the unemployment rates.
Mm-hmm.
They have much, much, much lower high school dropout rates. I was
really then. Now that one's actually surprising. That's quite surprising.
You know, okay. I was in Danish television yesterday, and I told them, you know what? Danish people have 25% high school dropout rates. Now, granted, of course, immigrants. I'm an immigrant myself, by the way, Kurdish immigrant. Immigrants stand for a significant part of that, but still. Nordic Danes, Danish Americans, they have 3.5% high school dropout rates. You know, it's almost one tenth. And the poverty rate of Danish Americans is much, much, much lower, almost half of the poverty rates of the Denmark as a country if you measure it using the American poverty rate definition.
When you get into these economic arguments between the US and Europe, it is such an uphill battle to try and argue that any European is better off than the typical American. I mean, you look all over Europe, and listen, I was born in Europe. I've been to Europe many, many times, okay? I love Europe. I love the history, the culture. It's a totally interesting place. It's my favorite place to go, you know, and I've visited 80 countries around the world so far, okay? But I will say this, Europeans tend to, at least in my anecdotal impression, live in crappy little flats. They drive crappy little cars. Their stores have crappy selection of goods, and everything just takes longer there, and it's just slower. And one could argue, you mentioned Italy earlier, la dolce vita, you know, indolence and self-indulgence, and well, yeah, and 50% unemployment for people under 30, and a country like Spain, Italy, Portugal, and certainly Greece on the verge of collapse. It's ridiculous. Why do people want to keep trying these idiotic left-wing experiments in the U.S.? They just simply do not work. History has proven it, and geography has proven it. Every time in history, every place on Earth, They're failures. They're failures over and over again.
Well, you know, I mean, certainly you make the case for the economic thing. What I do in this book is I make the case for the social factors. I show that once the Nordic countries had small public sectors, I mean, they had small welfare states supported by very low taxes. During this period, they achieved everything they have now. Income equality predates the big welfare state. So even the things that, you know, many libertarians and conservatives assume that, okay, so social democracy created a social good. Not from a historical perspective. Nordic countries were more, I mean, if you compare them to the rest of the world, they were more ahead in terms of like child mortality, long lifespans before the big welfare state. They had the income equality developed during the period of small government free markets. And what I show in my book is also, you know, there's an argument that says if you have too much welfare, you actually hurt the poor. Now, I grew up in a family, middle-class parents. They had both were professionals in Iran. But when we came to Sweden, we became dependent on welfare. Now, this entrapment in welfare dependency is very common. And as I show in my book, what has actually happened in Nordic countries is not only that many, particularly immigrants, have been trapped in a welfare poverty, but also that a very strong Nordic culture of, you know, self-reliance has gradually, over the generations, been grinded down by the welfare state. Now, one of the best proofs of this is
So I just want to ask, by the way, you just mentioned you're Persian, right? You're Kurdish. Okay, all right, good. Yeah, just want to know that. So that was quite a switch, and the welfare state basically trapped your family, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that cycle of dependence. Wow, amazing.
Well, I mean, they helped us, but, you know, also trapped us in dependence.
They help you and hurt you at the same time. That's exactly what welfare does.
Well, unintentionally, they do that. And the thing is that the Nordic countries for the past 20, 30 years have been, all of them, embarking on massive market reforms, massive welfare reforms, tax cuts. My book, Debunking Utopia X, was in the midst of Nordic socialism, is selling wearables, getting a lot of media. The only thing I regret is I should have waited a few more months before releasing it. Because just recently, the recent weeks and months, the Danish government has announced massive, massive, massive welfare reforms. They have said that immigrants would get basically half the welfare they got before. And they've gone back retrospectively 7 years. So the favorite country of Bernie Sanders is doing what Bernie Sanders never would dream of. And the Swedish center-right opposition, which will likely get power next election, they have just a few weeks ago, like 10 days ago, they announced very, very significant welfare reforms. So that's what's happening. These countries are moving away from this idea of very generous social democratic welfare states. And they've been doing so for decades.
Very interesting. Well, what is the future here? Do you think the decay will continue? I mean, is that fair to call it a decay? I think we'd agree on that it is. Or is there a wake up? Is there a real movement of awakening? Or do you just not see that?
I really like you. I like your show. I like everything you said so far. This I don't agree with because you have the wrong perspective. Nordic countries, I mean, certainly, as I write in one of the last chapters, Sweden has a massive crisis because immigration and the big welfare state is just a huge problem. But overall, it's not the Nordics who have a problem. The Nordic people are pragmatic. They've spent, as I said, 2 decades moving away from big government. They've introduced a lot of market reforms. I mean, look at Denmark. They have the highest tax in the world, you say. It's a favorite country of Bernie Sanders. And probably, you know, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, President Obama.
Yeah.
They have the same economic freedom score as the US, which means, well, they have high taxes. But besides that, in virtually every way, they're more free market than the United States. And they're moving towards free markets. They're moving towards smaller welfare state. What are you guys doing? Well, Hillary Clinton will win this election. And as I show in my book, the core idea of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, President Barack Obama, and Bernie Sanders is basically to use the Nordic countries as a role model for the United States. And try the same politics that did not work in these countries with the strongest working ethics, responsibility ethics in the world. Even they couldn't have this very generous high tax system. So you're going to introduce it. And that's what's already been happening. So the United States, I think, will, you know, have a problem. And
Oh,
that's
I
for
couldn't
business.
agree. I couldn't agree more. And you said you disagreed with me, but it was really just a question. I mean, there's not anything to disagree with. But the U.S. is galloping towards socialism. It's terrible what's going on here. And there are voices out there, like my little voice, that I hope will change it, and yours that will, I hope, will change that direction. But once you give people free stuff off the public treasury and they get to vote themselves that allowance, that shift just occurs, and it usually doesn't turn around, at least not without some sort of a revolution or secession or I don't know. We
You know
shall
what?
See. We shall see.
There are many libertarians and conservatives buying the book, and I'm fine with that. But actually, I've actually written a book for, if I could choose my audience, it's a liberal. Because I'm not extremist. I'm not against the welfare state. I'm pro a small welfare state, actually. You know, my own experience. I think it's good to, you know, fund some basic things like education. But the thing is, you must understand the limits of policy. You must understand that a country is admired for having the best welfare state. Well, it just happens. It's their culture that created their social good.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No question about it. Go ahead with what you're saying. But just before you go, I know you touched on it, but I just would love you to touch just maybe a little more on, like you talk about in the book, Sweden's self-inflicted immigration crisis. You know, any more on that you wanted to share?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't really like to talk about this that much because people are, you know, you get this racist quoting you. But Sweden has, I mean, read any Swedish newspaper or, you know, media outlet, even the local small ones. Top news, you know, sexual assaults, murders, shootings, grenade attacks. I mean, no-go zones, ambulance attack, police lured into a trap and throwing stones at them. And I mean, it's a small country. You know, small population, massive crisis. And they don't have a plan. They don't have a plan for how a lot of low-educated immigrants will get a job in this economy where basically the labor unions, taxes, generous welfare makes it, you know, very difficult to get a job and very easy to get trapped in welfare dependency. So, I mean, there's absolutely a big story there. But look, I want people to understand this on a bigger level. I want them to understand if it's not from this angle, oh, we hate these immigrants, why did these Muslim guys come here? But from this angle, the welfare state kind of attracts people because they say, wow, in Sweden, the money that government gives you is so much more than average wage in Afghanistan. Yes, it is. But you know what? You're going to get trapped in welfare dependency. You're going to get trapped in a very deep form of poverty in neighborhoods where basically nobody has a job. And then, you know, the progressive school system is very bad at getting knowledge out to the children of people in social poverty. So it's even bad from the perspective of the immigrants. And what I really show, I think, a core message in my book is, you know, you can be pro welfare state, good thing for you. But you have to realize that the important thing is not of an economic system is not just to create growth and well-being now. It is to foster individual responsibility.
For the long term,
Yeah, in the long term. And, you know, the Nordic countries had this for free because they had this superb social capital in their culture. But once they went too far with the big welfare state and started eroding the social capital, creating a culture of dependency, I think everybody lost. And I'll even go as far as say the social democratic parties are the big losers. Because they've gone from being the workers' party to becoming, to a large degree, welfare party. And the traditional workers have gone to, like, Donald Trumpish anti-immigration parties. And you know what? The social democrats, at least in one of these countries, are waking up. I'll give you just one small fact. And, I mean, just one last fact.
Sure.
And, you know, anybody, I mean, I hope your listeners do buy Debunking Utopia and go to Amazon because it's kind of number one, number two in many of the Amazon lists. I want to push it up to number one. But, I mean, the core thing, you can just tell your Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton supporting friend, kind of shock them. Denmark is a favorite country of American left. Now, the Danish prime minister recently came to America and he said, you know what, stop saying Denmark is socialist. We are a market economy. Now, you'd say this guy is a right-winger. His government is doing massive, massive, massive welfare reforms, one of the biggest welfare reforms in modern history. But the previous government of Denmark was Social Democrats. You know what they did? The Social Democrat government of Denmark.
No, tell us.
They started a nationwide debate about the need to change the welfare state. Yeah, just went and said, we can't have this. We can't have people relying on government as they do. And their minister of finance said, we have to have the competition state as a new welfare state.
Wow, that's a turnaround, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, from the social democrats in a country that American left thinks is a utopian socialist.
Right.
You know, it's not Nordic countries that have to wake up. They've woken up.
It's the
it's
U.S.
The United States.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. Very good points. Nima, give out your website. Of course, the book is on Amazon, and glad to see it selling so well. I hope you release a good old-fashioned paper version of it, too, because then people can buy it as gifts. You can't really do that with a Kindle so easily.
No, it is on paper, and I think most sales are the paper book.
Oh, I'm only showing the Kindle version on Amazon. Interesting. Okay.
If you just Google it on Amazon, and I think both the Kindle version and the book itself are selling very well, but it's the book, I think, that's number one on this list.
Fantastic. Good. Good stuff. Well, give out your own website or your Twitter handle or anything you want people to know in addition to the book on Amazon.
You know, my website is mostly in Swedish. Never mind that. ECPR.org is my think tank. One more thing maybe, you know, you could check out, maybe you can have me back on the show, is www.nordicparadox.se.
Nordicparadox.se.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's my book about why Nordic countries, because one of the things is that they are most friendly towards women in like every index about women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, oh, look, social democracy is good for women.
Right.
Yes, Nordic countries have been most, you know, pro-women since the age of the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my original points is that actually, in many ways, social democracy is hindering women to climb to the top. American style or, you know, New Zealand style, Australian style, free market, small government is more feminist than big welfare state, Nordic socialism.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. The book, again, is called Debunking Utopia, Debunking Utopia, Exposing the Myth of Nordic Socialism. I'm really glad you came out with us. Really glad you came on the show to discuss it. Everybody needs to read this, and they need to understand what is really going on here. Thank you so much for joining us, Nima.
Thank you. Fantastic show. I follow it anytime you want to come back.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, artmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice, or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.